for a title, if you're a person that likes a title, you can use one of two: how well do you roll, or time for a change. How well do you roll, or time for a change? Portia Nelson, who I really don't know who she is, wrote a poem, and it goes, I walk down the street, there's a large crack in the sidewalk. I fall in, it's not my fault, and it takes a long time to get out. I walk down the same street, there's a large crack in the sidewalk. I fall in again, and it takes a little while to get out. It's still not my fault. I walk down that same street, and there's a large crack in the sidewalk. I see it, and I fall in. It's not my fault. It's a habit. It doesn't take quite as long to get out. I walk down that same street, and there's a large crack in the sidewalk. I see it. I walk around and avoid it. I walk down another street. Basically, what she depicted in that whole poem was how we are, how people are. We tend to do things over and over, repetitive. We tend to fail to take that action of just avoiding what the problem is. And that's what I'll be talking about today, is changing us. If y'all want to turn to Ephesians 4, when you become a Christian, you repent. One of the first things we're told to do is repent. And repent means to change your ways. And for some of us, it's easy. Some of us, it's kind of hard. But in Ephesians 4 and verse 22, we'll read there first to get going. It says, that you put away as concerning your former way of life, the old man that grows corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, who in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, putting away falsehood, speaking truth each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things that is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for building up as the need may be, that it may give grace to those who hear. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, outcry, and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God also in Christ forgave you. Now that tells us pretty much the whole spiel. We change, we repent, we become this Christian, and then we're supposed to be this new person. And in order to be that new person, we have to change. But the question is, do we change? Or what do we change? We all change something, a little bit. But is it enough? It's like in the poem. She walks down the street, she sees the crack, but she still falls in because it's a habit. It's a thing that she's doing. A habit. Most people, when you ask them what a habit is, they'll tell you something that you're doing wrong. They usually tell you it's something that's bad. They usually give bad examples. What's a habit? Drink too much. I smoke. The Christian. Well, I got a bad habit. I don't read my Bible. They tell you that. But a habit is not bad. A habit can be good. If you read your Bible often, daily, that's a good habit. So habits aren't bad. The thing is, you need to change the old habits, get rid of them, the bad habits, keep the good habits, and create new good habits that are good for you. And that's what we want to do. When you come to Christ, you need to change, become this new person. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." A lot of times when we read these words, we need to really soak them in. You really need him. You put on Christ. When you think about it, that's some pretty heavy language. That's not just saying, okay, you're believing in Christ now. Because, you know, everybody uses that phrase, just believe in Christ. But you put him on. And that's heavy duty. And then there's other verses that you can think of where it says Christ is in you. Again, that's heavy language. He's in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Change is defined as simply to become different. You need to become different when you're going to be a Christian. You need to change things. I'll probably say change over 1,000 times today. We all change things. It's a constant thing for everybody. Normal, everyday life, we change stuff. We change our style of clothing. We change the way our hair looks and stuff like that. We can't change some things. Can't change skin color. We can't change our height. There's even scripture for that. Luke 12:25 talks about, which of you being anxious can add a cubit to his height? You can't. So some things, if you can't change them, you don't worry about them. Don't let them pull you down. Don't let them slow you down in making the changes that you need to make for you. We're going to talk about you too. You is part of this whole change. And you need to be thinking about you to make your changes. It's important that you consider yourself when you want to change. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people in the church really get wrapped up in trying to be that servant or that buddy or friend or help to the other person. But it's a fact that if you can't help yourself, you can't help others. You know, it works both ways. If you haven't cleaned up your act, you shouldn't throw the stones. If you live in a glass house, don't throw the stones. Same thing. Don't try and clean up other people if you can't clean you up. So you really and truly have to take time to consider yourself. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have a little exercise here in a little bit where we're going to look at yourselves. Everybody gets to do that. So nobody's going to have to get up and talk or anything like that. Nothing like that. But I'll give you a piece of paper and we'll go through this and I'll draw it up here on the board too. But it's all designed just to help you get an idea of where you're at. Because of our habits, because some of them we've enjoyed, some of them we like, some of them we get a kick out of doing, but they're not always good for us. Simple things are eating. It's great to eat cake, but it's not good to eat cake every day. It's real simple. You get a lot of this, you know, in the fitness world. People want to be healthy, but when they're told what they have to do, it's too much. I don't want to do that. So they're not really willing to change. You have to be willing to change. Now, in Ephesians there, it told us in verse 30, it said, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." There's your prize. I can sit here and tell you all kinds of other things, but the greatest prize that you're going to receive by being this Christian is redemption, the resurrection. And the first one is the one you want to be in. It's the only one with a promise that the second death has no power over you. That's the one you want. So there is your prize. You know, every story, I'm going to get off a little bit, every story has three parts: a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you were born, that was your beginning. You're in the middle, and then there's going to be an end one day. And the end is short and simple. We don't know how it ends, but it ends. But it's what this middle part is that we are going to make or lose our redemption, our resurrection. So this is an important part, this middle part of our life, the story, the actual doings about of our life. So you want that redemption. So there's your prize. That's why you need to change, to be the Christian you need to be. It's the same thing for the person that comes to the gym, hires a trainer, and says, "What do I need to do?" And I say, "Here's your eating plan." I don't like calling them diets. "Here's your eating plan. this is what we're going to do. I need you here this many days, and we're going to be working hard. And the first couple weeks, you're going to be in pain. Not because no pain, no gain is in play, but because it hurts when you haven't worked a muscle, and then all of a sudden you work it. The same thing happens to you when you don't do anything all winter, and then you start working in that garden real hard, because everybody likes the plants they grow and the fruit. But then you've got a backache, a leg ache, sore muscles, and everything like that. Same thing's going to happen. But I tell them what's going to happen, and then they go, okay, I'm in. And they do it. And they give up things to be able to do this, and they succeed. Now, many don't, but a lot do. Some do. And it's the same thing here. To be this Christian, to get this prize, we already know what's coming. In that case, we know our end. We know the end of our story. And you can't get a better ending. But we got to get there. So we need to know what it is that we need to change. Because we're all doing good. We're here on the Sabbath in church. We've read our Bible once or twice this week. Maybe, maybe not. How many prayers have we said? How many times did we sin? Wait a minute. Now, maybe we did mess up. I'm not sure. And I'm not asking what they were, if they were. How much faith do you have? This is what we've got to find out. So, we're going to look at that. Lots of times people don't change because they're afraid they're going to miss that habit, or they are afraid that others are going to think. So that's why some people don't ever step foot in the church, because they can believe it, they can feel it, but they're afraid that their family, their friends are going to say, you're weird when they say, I'm not doing Christmas with you. I'm not going to come to church with you on Sunday. I'm going to go to church on Saturday with these other people. And because their friends don't know you, they think that you're weird. You're a cult. They don't know, and they won't stop to take a look because they're afraid of change too. What will they say? Will they reject me? But they forget that there is a bigger prize, a bigger goal here. And that's what we want, redemption. That's what we want. So, with that said, we'll go ahead and start into our exercise. And we'll just pass these out. If you take a look at your piece of paper here, you see a number 10 at the top and a 0 in the middle. So, what that depicts is the center of the circle is 0. That's a low score. And out here on the edges is 10 all the way around. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk just real briefly about each one going around clockwise, and then you rate yourself. Okay? Now, yes?
Why don't you have good habits on here? Bad habits?
Well, these are good habits here. And actually, let me say that, because that's a good question. That brings me something I did forget to say. These are 8 things that I just kind of picked out. I did this a little while back, creating this whole thing, and now it's grown a little bit more, and y'all get to be the guinea pigs. This is a common thing, actually. I didn't create this. This is used in psychology for people to look at themselves too, so it's not something marvelous that I came up with. I just took it and used it for Christianity and for what we want to do. Because you could take prayer itself and probably come up with 8 different sections of prayer to really do an in-depth delve into what your prayer is like. Same thing with faith and belief or bad habits. You could probably categorize each one of your habits. I got 8 bad habits maybe, and put them in there and see how well you're doing on each one of them. So actually, before y'all leave today, because this might happen, it does happen, trust me. I'll leave these here. There's probably enough here for everybody to take an extra one home. We're going to do this today. You can do it or not do it, but I would suggest you do it. Try and give it a shot. You may not be truthful to yourself here today because you got somebody sitting beside you, and they're going to see your wheel. Okay? When you get home, take your wheel quietly by yourself and look at it and be more honest with yourself, because that's the one biggest thing that people do to themselves. God says don't lie. But we lie to ourselves. And personally, I kind of think that that's just as bad. Okay? And I'm not saying if somebody goes out and gets a freaky hairdo and they go, how do you like my hair? And you just kind of go, it looks really good. I'm glad you like that. Yeah. You know, I'm talking about lying to yourself. You know, if I put bad habits up here and you go, I don't have any bad habits, I'm a 10, are you being truthful? I don't know, and I don't want to know. But you got to remember that God does know. And if we want that redemption, there can be nothing but truth here. So, as Thomas said, there could be other things up here. I mean, one thing I thought that somebody might catch on to, actually, first off, was love. Why isn't love up there? Okay? Because you can do, as from what I've already said, you can do love for oneself and love for your fellow man, love for your church, love for God. You can rate that and do one whole wheel just on that. So what you do here today, you can take this and use it for other things. If you're honest. If you're honest with yourself, then you can do a lot with this. So prayer. Prayer is, for me, and I'm going to do this kind of with me up here. Prayer for me is something that I'm not the greatest at, okay? Prayer is to make a humble request, and I'm using dictionary things because I like to pull them out every now and then and play with them. And this is Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It says, to make a request in a humble manner. And I do that when I pray to God. I'm humble. Sometimes I'm not, though, actually. And think about it. Was Moses humble all the time? Sometimes he got upset. It also, they used one that said, to address God or a God with adoration, confession, supplication, or thanksgiving. Now, I could live with that. I don't like the or a God thing. But with me, it's God. God Almighty, the God of Israel. Okay? So I could live with that, you know, because I do it with adoration and confession. But do I do it enough? I'm not always there. So if this is 0 and that's 10, we're going to score ourselves on both lines the same. So right in the middle is going to be a 5, of course. I think I do better than 5. I think 5 and 4 probably are your averages on this. If you're doing really poor, you're probably under a 4. But so I'm thinking I'm doing probably a 7. So I'm going to be up here somewhere. And I'm going to make a mark on each side. And that's how we're going to start this. So you make your marks as we go through. The scripture tells us that we should be praying always. We should not faint. Now that's where I feel like I fall a little short because I'm not always praying. Sometimes something happens and I've seen other people or heard of other people and they're immediately pretty much saying, God, please help that person. You know, give them a hand. And I forget to do that because I'm listening to the story or what's going on, and then I remember it later, and I go, oh, I meant to tell you that or ask you if you would help that person. You know? So I feel like I'm a little slow sometimes on doing things like that. Yep?
What a prayer, could you say also conversing with God?
Conversing, yes. That would be there, and it also would fall in meditation. And that's another thing. Some people in the churches are afraid to put meditation up there because meditation can get into some really weird stuff and even to some things that people want to relate to, witchcraft and demonism and stuff like that. But it's in the Bible. And it is to focus one's thoughts on, reflect, or ponder over. So I think that when you pray and you study, which is right down here, that's what you're going to meditate about. Ponder what you read. It doesn't do any good to just read your Bible. You need to think about what it's saying. Like I showed you in that one verse that said, you put on Christ. Doesn't say that, you know, you got baptized and you believe in Christ. It said you put him on. You're wearing him. So you should be really strong in Christ. You should really feel that constantly. And I know in this world it comes and it goes, it's hard. But you want to be there with him. So it could be, you can, in this generally, as we do this, make it generally what it is to you. If you kind of feel like it is that, then yeah, it's conversing with God in prayer. Because that's what that is. And although the dictionary gave it the adoration, confession, supplication, thanksgiving, you're doing all those things when you're conversing with Him. And that's one of the best times I actually do talk more with God is when I'm driving. Please get me there safely because I know I drive like a nut. Yeah, no, it's not that. No, I actually do. I really relax when I drive. And so when I'm driving, I do that. I do exactly that. I talk to him a lot. It's more like a conversation. I'm telling him this and that. You know, what should I do about this? You know, I just wish he would just give me the straight answer sometimes, you know. But then that also, like I say, I think it crosses over, because when you're thinking about stuff and you're conversing in your head or with God like that, trying to make some conversation of it, I think it's almost more of a pondering. You're more of a meditation. And now that, I think I do probably at least a 7, but probably more like an 8 up in here. You kind of get like that. Faith and belief. I say they're one and the same. I don't know. Some people say faith is different than belief, and belief is different from faith. When I read in the Bible and when I get the definition of it from the dictionary, they use the same word to define the other word. It says a state or habit of mind in which trust or confidence is placed in some person or thing. That's kind of a little rough, because they're saying a person or thing. Well, I believe God, I'll call him a person. So I can live with that. Something that is believed, especially with strong conviction. And then it says a system of religious beliefs. I don't believe a system of religious beliefs. I believe the scripture. Like y'all were talking about earlier with the website. You want to make sure it said we believe in the Bible. We follow it. So I really don't like using that one as much. And that's why I kind of put a couple of them out here so I can get a little thing going. But belief and faith are the same things, because it does say in that one, that's why I put this one out here, it says a firm belief. It's talking about faith, and it says a firm belief. And that's what it is. I always say faith is what you mentally believe, but belief is you doing it. And I don't know if that's a real good way of doing it, but it is. And here I'm probably still up here around this 7-8 area, so I'm going to be right in there again, I'll say. Now, study. You're going to see a big change here. I'm looking okay, you might think, out here, but study's probably going to be down here. I'll just tell you, right straight off the bot. You know, I said, man, he's a minister, and he's a, don't study at all. Well, compared to what I think I could do, I don't feel like I do half the studying I could do. I get too distracted by life and my work and my hobby, and I feel like I could do a whole lot better there. Study is to read in detail, especially with the intention of learning, to engage in the study of. And we all know, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Reading the Bible is not studying. All right, I'm going to sit here and say, I can say I read a chapter this week. All right, I read my chapter, I can go to bed now. Study it. It says reading with the intention to learn. That's what studying is. And that's why we did this. Now, if you wanted to break it down, you could use studying only for the wheel, and one of them would be reading. Do you just read? Because sometimes it is nice to just read the Bible, because that can make you think and lead to good meditation and good prayer and strength and faith. So that's good. But studying is reading the Bible so that you're going to learn something. You're going to get something out of it other than, hey, I read a good story the other day, Gideon won a war. You know, big deal. Find out something more about it. Why? What's there? Can you use that to help you? You know, things of that nature. What's it saying? Study the words. Find out what the intention really seems to mean to you. And I may not be quite that low, but we'll leave it like it is. I rate myself. Every time I do this, I always give myself lower. And I could have just finished, you know, reading 3 or 4 chapters and writing notes on every verse in there, and I would still think I'm down here because I think I could have done more. That's probably not good. Why? Because I'm kind of browbeating myself. So try not to do it, but then I feel like I get too lazy. So I'm down there. Probably about, I guess that's going to be like a 3. Then we get to works, obedience. Obey. What are you supposed to do? What you are supposed to do. We say that we're Bible believing, then we should be believing the Bible. We say we follow the Bible. When it comes to a gay person coming in here and saying, Mr. Minister, will you marry me and my buddy? And we want him to follow the Bible and say no, but then do we all follow the Bible and say no to the things that we should and not do them? Do we follow the Bible and say yes to the things we should say yes and do them? Do we do it all the time like we should? Okay? I hope that didn't sound like I was picking on your idea or anything, because I agree with it totally. But it's something that I've always had a problem with. It's a little side note again. People are real ready to jump on gays because it's such a... I'll call it like this. It's gross. It's really gross. But then, and they don't want to sit down and have lunch with a gay person. But they'll sit down and have lunch with an adulterer. They're both sinners. They'll sit down and have lunch with a person that steals. They're both sinners. So, and a gay person can repent, change his ways, and come to God's truth, as far as I'm concerned, just like anybody else. I was a sinner before I came here. I wasn't gay, but I was a sinner. Get that straight, okay? See, I'm doing it right there. And I don't mean to be funny, but that's the way we are. It's just such a gross sin to us that it's easy to just, get that out of here, but you're okay. You just, that's not right. You just had an affair, so come on, sit down. No. It should work both ways. So, but aside from that, the Bible tells us we need to be doing our works. We need to be obeying God. We need to obey His commandments. Matthew 19:17, He said unto him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, which is redemption, resurrection, keep the commandments." Not because commandment keeping gets you something, but commandment keeping keeps you from sin. And sin separates you from God. And too much of it will lose that redemption, that resurrection we want to be in. So how are your works? Now here, okay, I think I'm doing pretty decent. So I'm up here around 9. I hope everybody should be pretty good on this. Because like I say quite often, commandment keeping, food law keeping is easy. Once you get into the church, that's like breathing. It's just, you don't even think about it, you just do it. It's the changes of the other things. Like you could take the fruits of the Spirit and put them on this board. Then see how good a Christian you are. Then check yourself out. I should have used those this time to be different. But that's a good way to do it. Okay? We're doing this stuff, but now do you really have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control? I would add forgiveness to that. I don't see forgiveness up there. But I thought it was on there. But anyway, if it's not, I would add it on there. Because that's something that we quite often overlook, is forgiving people. So we're up here on works and obedience. Now here's a good one. This can put you all over the board. Light shining. I use that. Basically what it is demonstrate. Light shining. God tells us that we should put our candle up so that everybody can see it. We're a light to the world. So they're supposed to see us. I don't think it means showing off and being arrogant about what we know and what we do. But it does mean that you're supposed to do things and be ready to show and prove and say. Yes?
Witness be another name for that?
Yeah, witness could be that too, yeah. So you could change it. Any of this can be. Here's the definition for it. I really like this one. To show clearly. That's number one. To show clearly. That's what your light shining is. And again, like the Bible gives us the example, lighting your candle and then putting it under a bushel or under the bed, that's not going to work. Nobody's going to see it. You want your light up here shining. Okay? So you want to show clearly when you demonstrate or witness or shine your light. Two was to prove or make clear by reasoning or evidence. Speaking, witnessing, just like he said. B, in the definition, was to illustrate and explain, especially through many examples. Okay? Now that's doing. That also could be in our works. Works is part of our showing, our light shining. When people say, "What are you doing? You know, your grass is 2 foot high and you're not cutting it, you're just sitting on your porch," you say, "Yeah, it's the Sabbath. I don't cut grass on the Sabbath. I'll get to it tomorrow when you're at church." Yeah. Shouldn't be so mean. But that still is part of works, but it fits into this too. The reasoning there, the definition there, I really like because it gave you that example of speaking, like Mike said, witnessing. And it gave you the, hey, you got to do something. You got to show people that you really mean what you say. Don't say I keep the food laws and then go to lunch with them and eat shrimp. It makes no sense. You're not backing up what you say. Don't say I keep the commandments and then steal. Because everybody knows that thou shalt not steal is one of the commandments. Even people who don't read the Bible know that. So they don't want to see you steal. So you want to do that. So your light shining. Will you step up to the base or the plate and hit the ball when somebody says, what are you doing? Or do you just say, oh, it's just church stuff I got to go do? Or do you take the opportunity to let the light shine? Explain to them. I do this. Well, I'm probably not always the best at this. Again, I let my life get in the way and I kind of fall short. So I'm probably back down here, around here, 6 and 7 something. Not real good. Okay. 7, or self rather. Huh, I'll get to it. Self is personal interest or advantage. Okay? And I like that one. I picked that one because it said advantage. Now, most people would say, take that and say, well, it sounds like you're being arrogant. It sounds like you're being selfish. No. Again, like I said, if you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to teach other people? How are you going to help others? Psalms 51, I don't have that here, but I should have put it in. Psalms 51, part of that says, David says, teach me your laws and your ways so that I, and make me upright so that I can teach others. So that's what we need to be looking at, ourselves. And this is what this whole thing is about. This is why you do this, because we kind of look at ourselves and go, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. Go to church every week, read my Bible 2 or 3 times a week, talking to a guy at work the other day about it. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. But when they stop and they do something like this, if they're honest, they go, oh, I am a little short on this. I am a little short on that. Do it on the fruits. Do they really match the fruits? Are they really a good person? You know? That's what needs to be done. And you need to look at yourself. And you need to take time to look at yourself. Women are big time on worrying about serving other people and not taking time for themselves. Martha and Mary. Some people take pride in saying that they're a Martha. I take exception to that. Mary was the one who was on the right track. Mary was willing to forego, to be called names for not helping, or maybe not names, but to be looked down on for not helping and serving because she knew what she wanted, and that was Christ. If you don't know what you want, you're going to lose this redemption. And if Christ is not what you want, you're going to lose this redemption. Christ has to be first and foremost in your life. I appreciate it when people help me and serve me and do things for me, but I can do it myself. I probably need to do it myself. Because you need to take time for you. Help yourself. Serve yourself first. Make sure you're full, and then help other people. I know there's times when that's the way things are set up and you're doing it and it happens. But still, don't be so quick to jump in to be a Martha unless you are definitely secure where Mary was. Does that make a little sense? If you don't have the vision and the want and the desire that Mary had, don't try and be a Martha until you get that. And then when you are secure where Mary was, you know what you want, you know it's Christ, you know you're doing it, then you can be the Martha. You can be the Martha all day long because you know where you are, you know who you are, you know what you're doing. So yourself, I'm probably going to be maybe around the 7 or 6 again, something like that, maybe a little lower. Not real good. Bad habits. Now.
What?
Yeah. It says, look, I'm not going to get it right. It says, yeah, look on others' things before yourself. But that's not saying ignore yourself in an improper way. That's basically like saying, let me see if I can get it right, because I'm still trying to remember it too. I would say that that's like, look on to their things and tell them good. You're doing good. Help them out. As in, pep them up like you would do at a sports thing.
Don't look on to yourself.
Yeah. Not right. And that's what I said. When I say this, it's going to sound a little arrogant. But if you don't, because people don't do this. That's why people are, let me go back to fitness, because that's what I do. That's why people are unhealthy. because they won't take care of themselves. Yes, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did say that. If you're not right yourself, how are you going to help other people?
That's right.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying.
So you can actually help someone to your hurt, though.
Yeah.
I know people who've done that.
That's true. And that would be the person who, like I said, isn't in Mary's spot. They are just totally Martha. They just want to serve and make sure that they look like they're doing good and helping and being friendly and courteous. But in the long run, have they learned anything? Are they growing? You're putting the cart before the horse because you're trying to get your salvation, or you're just worried about what people think about what you're doing. If you're serving them drinks, food, cleaning up, making sure they got a place to sit or something like that, doing stuff like that when you should be, wait a minute, stop. Hold everything and listen. Learn. Make sure that you know where you're at. So I don't think I'm contradicting that when I say that. It's, you got to be happy with you. You got to know who you are before you can move on. Yeah, right. It's like David said in the Psalms I was talking about. He said, you know, make me upright, help me so that I can help these others, so I can teach others. And we can't do it if we're not right. And it's only going to happen if we get ourselves right. So you have to stop, make sure. I probably have picked too much on the women when I said that. Okay, Psalms 51, verse 11. Psalms 51, verse 11 through 13. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That's what I'm talking about, basically. If you're not right first, you can't do it. Because he says, once I'm right, once you've restored me, once you've given me your Holy Spirit, then I can teach transgressors and convert them. That's what I'm talking about. Maybe that's a better way of explaining the whole thing. But 10-2? Yeah, it does start in there. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Basically, that could almost be a little prayer of repentance. You know? Because we all need that every now and then, especially now that we're getting into bad habits. But yes, ma'am? Yeah.
Trying to help the whole world.
That's pretty true, too. And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about at Pentecost. Don't work too hard on trying to find out what you're going to do. Don't try and make it more than it is. Just relax, let the Spirit deliver what it does, and find your niche slowly. That would help. But you're going to find that niche probably better if you take time for yourself and study and pray and meditate, increase faith. And, of course, I just kind of look at this as doing your thing.
You can't, you know, help other people unless you're happy with who you are.
Right. Folks. Yeah. When people are depressed, they don't go to depressed people for help. When you need money counseling, you don't go to a poor man. Don't come to me for money counseling. But that's what you want to do. You get things going. You get help from people that can do it. So if you're not right, and in getting yourself right, it may mean that you need to get with a friend, get with a family member or a preacher or somebody else like that and help and work things out. Talk. That we're going to get to that. That's part of the remedies of all this. I'm not just pointing out bad things. I want to remedy things too. So in bad habits, we get, bad habits is a failing to reach an acceptable standard, morally objectionable, inadequate or unsuited for a purpose. What's your purpose? Goes right back to our main goal, our redemption. That's our purpose. When you actually think about it, sometimes we are selfish. The little bit we do for God and what we expect from Him, wow, doesn't really come out even. But failing to reach an acceptable standard. His standards are what we're supposed to meet. A sin-free life as best we can. Making these fruits happen in our life. And growing and becoming that Christian. So, with your bad habits, where are you at? How do you rate yourself? How well would you be? 0 to 10. Me? Probably could do better on a lot of little things. So I'll probably give myself a 6. And I'm being honest there. Y'all wouldn't know this, but I can have a temper. Don't always, huh?
No question.
Yes.
No,
if you got a lot of bad habits, you're down lower.
Okay.
Higher is where you want to be. Okay, that's good. If you're not really having a lot of trouble, a lot of bad habits, you're going to be down lower. All right. So, with your wheel complete, what you're going to do is connect your lines like this, and this is where it gets ugly. Really ugly, especially when I get down here. And then we're here. I probably should have done this in another color. And then there. All right, so what this shows you is the title of the study. How well does your wheel roll? Now, can that wheel on your car go anywhere? How well am I doing? I'm not really doing well. I look like I'm okay right in here because it's kind of just a little bumpy. But down here, man. And then I got this big hump right there. This is what this is all about. It shows you where you stand on things. Now, here's something that you could have done. You could look at this and you could... This is what the lying person does. Well, I'm about average, 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 and anyway, they make a nice little circle. Okay? Because I'm just average, I'm right in there. Well, the problem with that is this. I want redemption. I got to go through my life. I've got this big wheel inflated because I'm doing everything right. That's my goal, to get this wheel inflated and even, doing things right. Because now I know where I need to work. I need to work all in this, but mainly I got to really work here. Working here, I believe, will increase a lot of this other stuff. Get it out to where this one is. Maybe faith is doing all right. But this wheel in one revolution can carry me a long way. This wheel has to revolve around a lot to get to where that one big wheel rolled to. So basically, these little wheels, you're just spinning in the sand. You're going and going and going, but you're not getting anywhere. When you have a big, full, healthy wheel, you can make movement. You can get somewhere. You can get down the road. And you take this and you look at it, and like right now we see that my biggest problem is study. And maybe I work too hard on works and obedience. I don't really know if I can do that because I still have a little bit of gap here that I don't think I'm doing quite right. These all are common things I just need to work on, need to get better. With study, again, I simply believe that prayer and meditation go up. So if my study was just up here around a 7, the prayer and meditation might be up there to around the 9 and 10 where they starting to look better, starting to serve me better too. With that all happening, this is probably going to come up here too. So now that one's come up. This is probably going to, my bad habits are going to probably reduce, so this would come up also. And then light shining would probably do it. If I work hard, if I make some effort to do better in what I'm lacking in the most, and that right now would be study. That gets a lot. I think it's overlooked a lot in the Bible, study. And now you may be one that studied a lot, but still didn't do good on the prayer. Is your study what it really should be, or are you just overlooking on prayer and meditation maybe? Some people really don't want to talk to anybody about the truth. And they could be like way down here because it's just too hard. I don't want to talk to them because they're going to ask me questions and I don't want to answer them. But you have to be willing to do that. You have to be willing to step out here. Always be ready to give an answer instantly. I can't remember the exact scripture, what it says there about that, but it's something along those lines. Now, it doesn't do any good to point out your problems if we don't give you a little bit of help on how to fix them. We've already done some on like the study, how that kind of does that. But again, quite often, you know, you tell somebody is working for you, don't bring me a problem unless you got a little answer there too. Give me I want your input on how to fix this problem. So, how do we fix some of these things? First, you use the wheel to find out where you're lacking, what needs to change in you, what habits need to be created, what habits need to be gotten rid of. So you use the wheel. Now we found out where I'm lacking the worst, here. So now that I have that, I need to decide to make a change and decide where I'm going to go. Get me a plan of action going. So now I've looked at my wheel, and let me go back through all these things with it. By looking at my wheel and doing this, checking on myself, that's partly self. I studied some to find out what my problem is. I found my problem is prayer. I've meditated and put some thought to it to figure out now what I can do to fix my study. So that's going to be my next thing. Take some action is next. As Christians, because we're going to keep this all in a Christian setting, even though you can do this with your work or whatever. As a Christian, what's the first thing you're going to do if you need help? Pray. That'd be silly to do something else, I think. The first thing you should do, yeah, now you may go, all right, I need to get this fixed. Let me go see a buddy of mine. He seems to always do good at studying. I'll go see him. Well, fine. I'm going to go see him, but first I need to pray. I need some help, God. This is where I'm lacking. You probably already know this and whatever, but this is what I need to do. So I'm going to pray first and get things started. Don't do things that create your bad habit. If you watch too much TV and you simply say, I'm going to quit watching TV so much, and you turn off the TV, but you sit there in the chair, a little bit later you're going, okay, man, I got to turn this thing on. I'm just bored sitting here. Don't sit in the front of the TV with it turned off thinking you're going to quit watching TV that way. It's not testing yourself. That's not the way to do it. Fill that void with something else. Turn off the TV, and in my case, I need to study the Bible more. I really don't watch that much TV. I just do other dumb stuff probably that I don't need to be doing so much of. But turn off the TV, study more if that's your problem. Turn off the TV, pray more. Work on your works. Check out other things that are wrong with you. Get rid of some bad habits. Work on these things. And again, they're all going to start, I think, with prayer. Again, don't do these things that lead to the sin, the bad habit, the turn off the TV thing. If eating's the problem, then you go through the house, you find all the bad food that you shouldn't be eating, and you throw it out. And you know, if you're going to do that, I'm going to get into a little bit of the fitness side of this thing. Throw it out. Don't go, well, I hate to throw that out. I paid $10 for that. Let me eat it first, and then I'll... No, throw it out. Just get it out of the house and go buy the food that's good for you to eat. That's the best, safest, quickest way to do it. Don't allow the bad food in your house, and you'll change. Kids won't eat. This is given to me by a child doctor. Get the good, healthy food, put it in the house, and offer them that. At our lowest point, I don't mean to offend here, we are animals. Hunger takes over, they will eat. Let them scream for a day, hunger will step in, and they will eat the good food. They will learn to like it. It's just the same thing, you know, dogs. You give them the dry dog food, they don't want it, they sit there and look at it for a day or two, and then next thing you know, they're over there munching it up. I hate to call you kids dogs, but I don't mean to do that. But that's the way it is. You just take a stance, and you do it. Don't do the things that cause you to sin. If you had a problem with, with girls, if you're a guy, you don't say, well, I need to quit looking at girls so much, and then go with them to a go-go bar with your buddies. You don't go. You don't do it. If you drink too much, if you have a drinking problem, you don't go sit in a bar with your buddies while they drink. You have to stop that. It's just simply common sense that actually some people just don't seem to get. Because I talked with Dave this morning about this some. People are sick, and instead of doing things that will make them healthy, that will help them, they revert to just doing the same old thing because it hurts again. They don't want to do it because it hurts. But, you know, one of the common things that's always announced on TV, commercials, and everything is, if you have arthritis, get up and move. Movement is the enemy of arthritis. Yes, there are severe cases of arthritis when movement is not warranted, but those are very, very, very severe. Most basic arthritis, if you move, it eases the pain. Hurts at first, but it goes away. So you want to do that. And people won't do it. Oh, it hurts, I can't do it. You got to get over that. You got to get by it. So when you have a bad habit, you got to just cut it off. Just get rid of it. I think that's what the Bible was telling us when he said, if your eye offends thee, pluck it out. Now, don't poke your eye out, of course. But that's what he's saying. Just cut it off. Stop it. Stop it and don't return to it. Stop it. Pray. Ask for him to support you in your stopping of the bad habit. Study. Meditation. Faith increase. You feel better about yourself. Bad habits go away. And you're up here. Now your wheel's getting inflated better there. Starting to look a lot smoother. If you need help, I mentioned this already. Seek help from a friend, pastor, family. Please don't use strangers. You don't know what they're going to tell you. But do it. Again, first place, God. The first place you seek help is prayer. Get that help first. Then maybe through your prayer, he will lead you to the right person with the right answer. I knew a minister once who said, you know, if you're having marital problems, don't come see me. I'm not a marriage counselor. He said, if you're having money problems, don't come see me. I'm not a money manager. And although I'm not a money manager, I would rather people, if they feel safer coming to talk to me, I would rather them come talk to me. No, I'm not a marriage counselor. No, I'm not a financial planner. But if that makes them feel better and gets them started in the right direction, then please come see me. Trouble me. Upset me. You know, no, you're not. You've got a problem. I want to try and help you. But that's where I felt, you know, he was a little wrong on that because he just took the stance, but no, go see a marriage counselor. A marriage counselor in the world, who knows what he's going to tell you? Because he basically believes probably at some point you should get a divorce. And not always should that be done. So seek help from those in the church if you need to. I mean, a friend can if all they do is listen, and that's what I say, you know, I accept people to talk to me about things because if nothing more, I'll listen. And sometimes when you spout out your problem to somebody else and say it out loud, you start getting your own answers right there. Oh, you know, I guess that sounds stupid. I guess I could just stop doing that and start doing this. Wow, and then they slap you on the leg and say, thanks, man, I really appreciate it. And you're going, I didn't do anything but sit here. But if that helped, then that's helped. And that's a good thing. You know, anytime you help somebody, it does feel good. Light shining. You need to show others that you've changed. You need to make sure that everybody understands that you are this Christian person. And that's the only way I'm talking about. I don't mean that if you changed, if you had a bad habit and you dropped it, you don't need to come in and say, hey, I was a bad habit guy and I quit doing that now. I don't mean that. I mean just the fact that you have become this Christian that you need to become. The person with all these fruits. Because those fruits are what really tell. They're what really show. Again, I can come to Sabbath services every week. I can sing the songs. I can say prayers even. But do I really and truly have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? And I, like I said, I throw forgiveness in there. Do I really and truly have those qualities in me? And to be honest with you, no, I don't always have the best of those qualities. I do pretty good on some of them, but I don't, being honest with myself. If I took those and I can do those real quick, like with the wheel, and I can look at them and say, not always. I do pretty good on some, but you know, I don't think anybody's going to be perfect on everything. We only had one guy that had the wheel filled up and perfect, and we know who that was. And that's what this is all about. So your light shining should just be that you show. Because, you know, people who have problems and they got issues and things like this that they never brought out to themselves, and then they come to church, And they may talk and seem polite and they seem good, but do they really seem like they're happy? Do they really feel, do you really feel that spirit around them? You know? But if they get going with things and start correcting their issues and get these traits, that spirit's going to be there. It's got to be there. Because that's God-given. And, you know, it's got to be like that. If you're somewhat new in the church, you've never been baptized, but you're thinking about it, do this on baptism. What it brings, what it gives, what you have to do, what goes on. Find out where you're short. Maybe then you might start making a better decision as to whether you want to be baptized or not. Then, we want to strive to maintain whatever we corrected, whatever we've changed. And that would be, although it's not really the same thing, but it'd be works and obedience. Works and obedience. Because now that I've quit doing this bad habit, I'm going to stay not doing this bad habit. That's the way I want to be. Now that I've got my studying up here, I'm going to keep it up there. And I want to keep it there. And I want to do better. And I want to keep it going. So that's the whole thing about this. You want to try and make yourself be this person that you can be. As best you can be. To close this up for you and everything, because I know this probably went a little long. Take this. Take an extra one. I'm going to set these out back here. I made a bunch of them. Do one at home. And do it a total honesty there, you know. Like I say, nobody be looking over your shoulder. And I'll set them up here. And give yourself a real good, honest score. And see where you fall. And see what you do, how you do, and what you need to work on. And then start making the changes. Becoming the person that you're supposed to become that he talked about in Ephesians, this new man, where he said in verse 424, and put on the new man, who in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. That's what you want to be. Okay?